Ephesians chapter 5 is where we're going to be in the text this morning, and we're going to begin reading. We're going to talk today about staying pure in an R-rated world, all right? So we're in Ephesians chapter 5, and let's just jump right in here and get going, all right? The Bible says in verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." If you're thankful that Jesus loves you, clap your hands, would you? Isn't that awesome? That is just awesome. And then verse 3 says, watch this now, "But fornication," that's a word that means sexual immorality, "and all uncleanness," that's just moral impurity, "or covetousness," that's a big word that has this idea of wanting something you can't rightly have. Covetousness is wanting something you cannot rightly have. And I'll come back to that later. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once." Everybody say, not one time. Say that louder. Not one time. "Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting." He is not saying right there, look, you should be very serious and very sober and never laugh. I preached one night, and a guy said to me afterwards, he said, "You were too funny, because the Bible says you shouldn't jest or be foolish when you're talking." What he's talking about here is not laughing and enjoying life and humor. How many of y'all know that the joy of the Lord is our strength? Did y'all know that? And how many of y'all know that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine? Are y'all aware of that? So God's not against you having a happy heart and a happy life and enjoying life and laughing a little bit. God's not against that at all. What he's talking about here is there's a joking that should not be named among us. Inappropriate joking. Laughing about things that are inappropriate. Laughing about things that are immoral. Laughing about things that are ungodly. Joking about those things are wrong. So he says here in the fourth verse, "Neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." That's an interesting statement. Rather giving of thanks. "For this ye know," he says, "that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor a covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." That's not how a Christian's supposed to live, and the world around us lives differently than we live, and we're not to live like they do. So verse 6 says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness," you were a sinner, and you were living in darkness, "but now are ye light in the Lord," you're born again, "so walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest." Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to wake up. Say it to the other neighbor in case you missed somebody. It's time to wake up. And he says right here, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Now what he's talking about here, he's talking about living a morally pure life. And he says you got to make sure that there's no fornication, uncleanness, immorality, no joking inappropriately, that we're not fellowshipping with the unfruitful works of darkness, that we're not talking about things we shouldn't be talking about. What he's talking about is living a pure life. And he says then, well, wake up, you that are asleep, wake up. In other words, if you're not careful, you'll miss this. You're living in an ungodly world. You're surrounded by ungodliness. There's immorality everywhere. And it's hard to turn on a TV and have a clean heart. How many of y'all know that? And it's hard to log on to Instagram and have a clean heart. And it's really difficult to be on TikTok and have a clean heart. We're just surrounded by immorality. And the Bible says, wake up, wake up, wake up. We got a problem. And you better be alert. You better be on guard. Wake up, he says. You that are asleep, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And then verse 15 says these words, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Smile at your neighbor. Say, don't be a fool. Better be wise. He says, redeeming the time. Say to your neighbor, you better pick up the time. Better pick it up. And tell your neighbor, he says here, because the days are evil. Say to your neighbor, say, don't you know this is an evil hour? Tell him. And so he says, "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." How many of you believe that it would be God's will for me and you to live a clean life? How many of y'all believe that? And have a clean heart and walk with God and be pure in this ungodly hour. How many of y'all believe that? Do y'all believe that? So what we're going to talk about today is We're just going to talk just a little bit here about staying pure in an R-rated world. That's what we're going to talk about. Finding purity in an R-rated world. All right, so it'll be a simple little message for you. And I want to give you some essential ingredients to purity. That's really where I'm headed. Some essential ingredients. I have five of them, all right? And we'll talk about them and our time will be gone. Let's start with this word. Here's an essential ingredient in purity. And we'll just jump right in and get at it. And here's the first one. It's the word knowledge. An essential ingredient in purity is the word knowledge. Now, what you've got to understand is that the world around you is a mess. You better know that. You better know we're in a battle. You better know that. You better know, guys, you're in a battle. Girls, you better know you're in a battle. You better know that the world you live in is full of immorality and garbage, and it's out to hinder you, to prevent you from enjoying God's very best. Now, here's what the world will tell you. The world will tell you, hey, do it our way because our way is better. Y'all, are y'all aware of that? The world will say, come on, live like we live because our way is more fun. But what I want to tell you, kids, is this. The devil is lying to you. The world is lying to you. God's way is always better. God's way is always best. God's way always brings more joy than the world's way around us. And you can mark that down in black. You can write it in red. That's always been true. God's way is always better. 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 You need to know that. You need to know you're in a battle. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. In other words, you got an enemy. You better know this. We start with knowledge. Know that there's a battle raging. Know that you have an enemy, and know that God has a plan. The Bible says right here in the 15th verse, do you see that verse? Are you still open in Ephesians 5? See then that you walk circumspectly. Y'all ever read that before and wonder what that meant? See then that you walk circumspectly. The word has the idea of keep your head above the water. The idea is you better know what's going on. How many of you know what a groundhog is? You know what a groundhog is? How many of you know what a groundhog is, do you? Have you ever seen a groundhog? A groundhog will come out of its hole. They dig holes in the ground. And a groundhog will come out of its hole and it'll go, I don't know, 10 or 15 feet out in the field and it'll be eating. And for almost every bite that a groundhog takes, it walks circumspectly. Because here's what a groundhog does. You've seen this, haven't you? A groundhog will take a bite, and then he'll stand up, and he'll look around. Now you tell me, why is he looking around? Come on, tell me out loud, louder. He's looking for predators. So he's alert. He's got knowledge. He knows that this could cost my life. And so he takes a bite, and he stands up, and he looks around. I had a dog named Gracie, and she was a golden retriever. She's probably about 85 pounds or so. And she's gone now. She lived with us 13 and a half years, and she died of kidney failure. And Gracie was an outdoor dog and a big golden retriever, and she loved to kill things. And if you live on a farm, now if that's offensive to you, she's a dog. I didn't teach her to do that. That's just how dogs are. And so she'd try to catch squirrels, and if she caught a squirrel, the Lord would call it home. And if she got a hold of a rabbit, one day I couldn't find her, and I kept looking for her, and I found her under my RV. And when I looked up under my RV, she growled at me, which was out of character for her because she didn't growl. I'm the owner. I'm the male. I'm the man. And she growled at me. And I looked up under the RV. What do you think you're doing growling at me? And when I did, she had two little rabbit ears hanging out of her mouth. She'd call a little rabbit, and she had eaten the rabbit. The only thing left was two little rabbit ears hanging out of her mouth. And she growled at me like, don't you take my ears. And I mean, she killed everything. One of the worst things she would do is she discovered that she liked cats. Apparently, she thought they tasted like chicken. And you know, that's a bad deal because cats are pets. And I had to work on that. She was such an entertaining dog. One night I was at a church in Ohio where we lived at the time, and I was walking her, and there was a big soccer field there, and she'd caught several, I don't know, we were at a church in Tennessee or a camp in Tennessee, and one day she'd caught a skunk. And how many of y'all know that's a bad deal? And how many of y'all know that the skunk won? Are y'all aware of that? The skunk won, and we all lost. Everybody lost on that one. And it took forever to get that skunk smell off of her. Well, I was walking her one night there, about a month or so later after she had, you know, caught the skunk, and then she had, you know, and had to spend all these hours of trying to get that out of her eyes and out of her mouth and out of her nose and all that. And so I was walking, and it was just late at night, just taking her for an evening walk, and looked down on the soccer field, and I could tell when she saw something. It was dark out there, but I could tell because she would tense, and then she would explode. She'd stop for a moment, and then she would explode into action, and I saw this happen. I saw her tense, And I thought maybe there was a deer out there or a raccoon or something. And she tensed, and then she exploded across that field. And I'm looking, what's she going after? And then I saw a skunk about the same time she saw it as well. She is full force, and then she realizes it's a skunk. And it was one of the most entertaining things I've ever seen because she took about 20 feet to stop. She started rolling head over heels, putting on the brakes, because she was determined, oh boy, this is not what I want. And she loved groundhogs, but she had a hard time with groundhogs, because groundhogs are amazing. Groundhogs, you know, they'll go out and take a bite, and they raise up, and they look around. They take another bite, and they look around. And my dog, there was groundhogs all over our church property. We lived at the church. We had an RV pad on the church property, and we were full-time RVers, so we lived on the church property. She'd try every way in the world to catch those groundhogs. And my Gracie, she'd see a groundhog out there, and she was so smart. She'd see that groundhog out there, and when the groundhog would get down to eat, she would take a few steps toward, and she would hunker down on the ground. And the groundhog would raise up and look around and go back to eating. And my golden retriever would, as soon as that groundhog dropped down, started eating again, she'd take six more steps and hunker down. And she would just do this. She's very patient. And the groundhog would raise up and look around. He's walking circumspectly. The groundhog was walking circumspectly. And the groundhog would look around, and my dog would wait. As soon as she went back down and started eating, my dog would take a few more steps. And eventually she would get so close she couldn't stand it. You know what I mean by that? I mean, she's so close, she's tasting groundhog, which I don't know what that tastes like, but apparently she really had this hankering for groundhog. And she would all of a sudden explode into, you know, just action. Here's the groundhog, and the groundhog would hear my dog explode into action, and the groundhog wouldn't even raise up to look. The groundhog would whirl around and make a beeline for the hole. You ever seen this happen? And my dog never caught that groundhog. Because my dog would try with every ounce of her being to explode into action. The groundhog always beat her to the hole. The groundhog had knowledge. That groundhog knew, I better be alert. There's predators out there. I better know what's going on. I will tell you that one day something happened. One day I watched my dog, and I do this forever because I just thought it was so fascinating. I watched this groundhog come out of its hole, and my dog saw the groundhog and hunkered down. Because she knew if the groundhog saw her, the groundhog was gone. And my dog, and this is the only time it ever happened, but I've never forgotten. This was the most amazing thing. That the groundhog stood up and looked around. And went back to eating. My dog took a few more steps. And then groundhog stood up, looked around. You know, it's got a little head up there. It's bobbing around. It's walking circumspectly. And that particular day, when my dog exploded into action, my dog did not run for the groundhog. It's the only time I ever saw her do this. Instead of running for the groundhog that day, my Gracie ran for the hole. And she beat that groundhog to the hole. And do you know what happened? The Lord called it home too. That dog of mine caught that groundhog and just a couple of flicks of its neck, boom, boom, broke its neck, and then drug it home. Those things are so gross. Did you all know that? They are so gross. And she drug that groundhog under my RV and growled at me. Didn't want me to take it away from her. And for crying out loud, if you're dumb enough to catch one, eat it. And so we let her eat it, which was, you know, just so gross. I mean, y'all agree that's just gross. But she's a dog. The groundhog was alert. That's walking circumspectly. We start with knowledge if we're going to live pure in this R-rated world. You got to start with knowledge. Are you aware of the fact that there's things on the television you shouldn't watch? Are you aware of that? Are you aware that it's very difficult if you have a steady diet of Instagram, it's very difficult to have a clean heart. Are you aware of that? You better know. You start with knowledge. Walk circumspectly is a Bible way of saying, be alert, young people. You better know. If you got a steady diet every day of TikTok and you just mindlessly scroll through one video after another, about every third or fourth video, you're going to have an opportunity to damage your purity. You better know this. You better know this. You start with knowledge. If you're going to live pure in this garbage world, you start with knowledge. Now be sacred and be holy here. I know it's early in the morning, but how many of y'all know the word pornography? You know that word? And if you don't know that word, do not Google it. Ask your mom or dad about it. Or ask your pastor or youth pastor. You don't go to the internet to get answers about these issues. You do not go to the internet to get answers about these issues. You go to a real person that is guaranteed to give you real truth. If you go to the internet, you're going to get lies. You go to the internet, you're going to get all kinds of misinformation. So if you're going to get information about these issues of purity, you go to someone that you trust that knows the Bible that can give you real truth. But most of you know what that word pornography is. And you know, it's always been around. It's always been part of the existence of our world. And yet your generation has to deal with it in ways no other generation has had to deal with it previously. And that is because in our generation, we have this thing called the internet. And you all know that, don't you? I left my phone down there. I was going to hold my phone. If you have a phone, if you have a smartphone, you have access to 467 million pages of free pornography. And it's available at the touch of a finger or the click of a mouse. We're surrounded by garbage. How many of y'all know that? Did y'all know that? And the thing about pornography is that it's affordable now. It's free. And it's readily accessible. If you have a computer, if you have a smartphone that's not filtered, it's readily accessible. So it's affordable, it's accessible. It's anonymous because you can often get involved in it and nobody know it. In fact, some of you, watch me, some of you got involved in it by accident when you were young. In fact, you were so young, you couldn't even tell anybody what you saw. You knew something wasn't right, and you knew something was wrong, but you didn't have a vocabulary to go tell somebody what you saw. And it's designed that way. The younger this industry can get you involved in this stuff that is garbage, that is wrong, then what will happen is they know they'll have you for life. And see, it's not even about sexuality at the point that many young people discovered. It's an accident. Sometimes we're not even, maybe we're just looking up a curious word. We heard a word and we want to know what it is and we're looking it up. And the next thing you know, we stumble into this thing called pornography on the internet and we don't even have a vocabulary to explain it. And really, we're so embarrassed and so ashamed and so shocked that we shut it down. We walk away. We're aghast at what we just saw. And yet it's designed in such a way that those images lock into our mind. And even though it may not even be human sexually driven, it's driven by curiosity, and often this is where it starts. And I will tell you, teens, you need to know something. You need to know something. It's aggressive. Kids, TikTok is not just an innocent little app. It is aggressively designed to get you involved in things that's devastating to your future. Instagram has wholesome things on it, and I'm thankful that we can enjoy wholesome things in our use of the internet. But I'm telling young people, you need to know. You start with knowledge. Walk circumspectly. The Bible says you got to know the will of God. You got to understand. You got to know that the times are evil. You got to know that it's easy to waste time. You got to know this. The devil is trying to destroy your life. You got to know that. You start with victory in this battle with purity, with knowledge. You got to know that you got an enemy. Smile at your neighbor and say, "Do you know that?" Tell him you got an enemy. And I'll tell you something, kids. He's amazingly powerful. You have victory. Jesus rose from the dead, and his resurrection power is available to you. But I am telling you, the enemy is powerful, and many of you have no awareness that the enemy is trying to destroy your life. And you start with knowledge. How many of y'all have a smartphone? Raise your hand, good night. Is that most of us? Most of you. How many of you know that it's easy to see things on a smartphone that is not the best? How many of y'all know that? Come on, raise your hand if you know that. Do you know that? How many of y'all have an Instagram account? Let me see your hand. How many Instagram accounts? Wow, that's most of you. How many have a TikTok account? Anybody have a TikTok account? What's the other one? Is there Snapchat? Do y'all Snapchat? So there's a lot of Instagram out there. Anybody just out of curiosity have a Facebook account? Anybody got a Facebook? Oh, there's a lot of you with a Facebook account. Anybody here have a Twitter account? Just out of curiosity, anybody got a Twitter account? You're doing better than Donald Trump. Because he doesn't. Now think about this. Just think about this. All this social media is so cool, isn't it? My goodness, you know what your friends had for lunch last night or for supper. Isn't that awesome? Woo! What a world we live in. And my goodness, there's always something to laugh at. What's your favorite funny video? I mean, you have one? There's a ton of funny videos out there, isn't there? And we laugh all the time. Brother Dan Vaughn, is he in here? Brother Dan Vaughn in here yet? He must be sleeping in or packing up or something. But Brother Dan and I will share funny videos. So if I get a little text message that says, "This is from Dan Vaughn," I know I'm about to laugh. See, there's nothing wrong with humor. There's nothing wrong with laughing. But the fact of the matter is, you better know. Here's essential ingredients in the battle for purity. You better know. You better know there's garbage out there. You better know the enemy's trying to destroy you. You better know that God's plan is better than the world's plan. Y'all got knowledge? All right, there's one more word here in chapter 5 that I want you to see. And here's the second ingredient I want to talk to you about. And the second ingredient, the one on the screen there, is the word gratitude. Everybody say gratitude. Now, did you catch that in verses 3 and 4? He says the unbelievably unusual thing. And the first time I ever saw this, it kind of caught me off guard. Chapter 5, the book of Ephesians, verses 3 and 4. Listen to this. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather, you got your Bible? If you do, read those words out loud. But rather what? Say it louder. But rather giving of thanks. Now you just answer this for me. What in the world's that got to do with anything? Is that a valid question? Seems out of place, doesn't it? Don't let fornication or uncleanness or covetousness or jesting or don't let all this garbage into your life. Instead, be thankful. How many of y'all think that's a little weird? Am I the only one? It's like, really? What's that got to do with anything? But apparently it has a lot to do with it because this is the Word of God. What it tells us is that if I'm going to live a pure life, I start with knowledge. Boy, there's a battle going on. Man, my Instagram account could hurt me. Man, I'm telling you, YouTube is not a good thing if I'm not careful. Man, I know the devil's trying to hurt me. I start with knowledge. And number two, Ephesians 5 says, I start with gratitude. Hey, let me ask you a question. How many of you are aware of the fact that we are living in a weird world in which transgenderism is starting to be bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger? Are y'all aware of that? How many of y'all know somebody that would identify as transgender, just out of curiosity? Don't most of us? A lot of you do. Now, here's the interesting about that. What do you suppose the heart problem there is? Here's a person, biologically, scientifically, is born a guy. No doubt about it, they're a guy. They're a male. Their deoxyribonucleic acid says so, DNA. Their RNA says so. Their chromosomes say so. Forgive me, their body says so. Here's a male. But this male says, I don't want to be a male. I want to be a girl or non-binary or whatever. There's, I guess, 72 different options for gender now. Well, why? Well, what's going on there? Can I tell you what's going on there in one word? Can I describe it like this? They are not, here's the word, thankful. They're not thankful. This is what the Bible teaches us. They're not thankful. What do you mean, Dave? What are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say. Here's a person that says, God, I know you made me a man, but I don't like how you made me. I don't need you, God. I don't like how you made me. I reject how you made me. I'm not thankful for how you made me. Can you see how this applies? God, I'm not thankful. I don't like it. I don't like it. I know what science says. I know what my body says. I know what my DNA says. I know what my chromosomes say. But I don't like it, so I'm going to change it. We're living in such a weird hour because of this. And I'm not trying to be mean about anybody that's dealing with these things. But I'm telling you, the issue is gratitude. And it's also one of the issues in your purity battles. Because as long as you have an unthankful heart, what the Bible wants you to know is you're going to battle with purity. That's what he's trying to say here. See, here's a guy who says, you know, my mom and dad are so strict and I don't like it. So you're unthankful. Opens the door for you to have a battle with purity. I know I'm a guy and I don't like being a guy and I can be whatever I want to be and the world just makes so much fun of me. You know what your problem is? You're not thankful. You know, there's just great peace for a guy who says, you know what, I was born a male, and my DNA says so, and my biology says so, and my chromosomes say so, and my body says so, and God, thank you for how you made me, and I accept the way you made me, and God, I am okay with the way you made me, and I'm going to be who you made me to be. You see gratitude there? And girls, the same thing's true for you. There's a story, and you can Google it if you want to, and be wise about it, but there's a lawsuit that occurred several years ago in the United Kingdom, in England, and it was let me see if I got this right, it's a girl that decided she wanted to become a man. So she wasn't thankful for how God made her, so she wanted to become a man, and so this girl, she goes through the surgeries, you know, and all of this stuff to become a man, but before she finished the transition from being a woman to being a man, she decided, or he decided, or she decided, I'm not sure what pronoun that they would want me to use there, but they decided that they didn't want to be a man quite yet, that they wanted to have a baby before they became a man. So she actually had a baby. And when she was in the hospital and had the baby, This is a woman who's becoming a man, but she still can have a baby. So she had a baby, and on the birth certificate, they put down that she was the mother. She's the mother. And you know what she did? Or he did? Or she did? You know what happened? They sued the hospital. And she sued the hospital. You can Google this up. She sued the hospital. He sued the hospital. This person sued the hospital because this person said, I am not the mother of the baby I just gave birth to. I am the father because I am now a man. Are y'all with me? How many of you are going, this world is so weird. Are y'all with me on this? And you know what? Here's what the judge decided. After it went through all the legalities of the court, the judge decided that, here's my ruling. The judge said, the person who gives birth to a baby is the mother. But, the judge said, being a mother doesn't mean you're a woman. Is this not a weird world we live in? The person that gave birth is the mother, but just because you're the mother and gave birth to a baby doesn't mean you're a woman. The lawsuit is ongoing. You know why? Because this person is determined to be recognized as a male who gave birth to a baby. By the way, if I remember correctly, has like 7 million followers on Twitter. Or I'm sorry, on Instagram. Kids, this is such an ungodly world. And everything is upside down. And here's where the things begin to fall apart, when there's a lack of gratitude. Because the Bible says right here, if you want to live victory in your life, you've got to make sure you know there's a battle. You got to make sure you know that God has a better plan. And then you got to remember to be grateful. He says, don't allow fornication in your life. Give thanks. Somebody says, but wait a minute, I deserve to look at that. I deserve to act on my sexual desires. I deserve that. I deserve this relaxation time to scroll through these videos on YouTube. There's a better way to live. The better way to live is, thank you, God, that you designed me the way I am. And thank you, God, that you gave me these desires. And although I can't act on them right now, thank you, God, that you have given me the power to live a pure life in this ungodly world. Thank you, God, for how you made me. Thank you, God, that your word is true. Thank you, God, that I can have victory. Thank you, God, that I don't even have to have Instagram to have a fun and happy and enjoyable life. Did you all know that's true? Do you know if you never had another Instagram account, you could still probably die happy? Did you all know that? If you ever, never, ever, 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 never, ever, 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 never, ever, ever again logged on to TikTok, you could still probably enjoy life. Did you all know that? How's that working out for you? How many hours are you spending on TikTok a day? How often do you scroll through Facebook or Twitter or whatever, or TikTok late into the night? And what do you accomplish? Nothing. So, no, I did. I got to know a really cool person. And here's this really cool person that you've never met and never will meet. And if you did know them and did meet them, you probably wouldn't like them. It's the truth. They're narcissistic and they're jerks. How many of y'all do not want to hang around a jerk? Y'all with me on that? And yet we follow movie star, Hollywood movie stars, and Hollywood movie stars' kids hate their guts. If you don't believe it, just read their stories. We spend hours supporting and celebrating on Instagram and TikTok Hollywood movie stars whose wives and husbands don't even like them. In fact, how many movie stars are happily married? Almost none. You want to follow those people? There's a better way to live. If you're going to live pure in your life, you got to have knowledge. How many of y'all agree with that? You got to know there's a battle. How many of y'all know there's a battle? Wave your hand at me. You know there's a battle? And you got to know that God has a better plan. Did y'all know that? And you got to know that the industry's trying to destroy you. Pretty start with knowledge and then move to gratitude. Thank you, God, for how you made me. Listen, ladies, make sure you're thankful that God made you a woman. Make sure you're thankful for that, girls. Don't let this world tell you. Don't let this world tell you anything negative about that on one side or the other. Because sometimes the world will say, oh my goodness, you girls, you are woman power. And the world will tell you, you know, guys are idiots. And we're to be thankful for how God made us. Girls, every guy in this room ought to be thankful that God made you a beautiful girl, and he ought to honor you and respect you as a woman. And guys, if you do go on the internet and look at garbage pictures of young ladies, you know what you're doing? You are violating the fact that that is a lady made in the image of God, and her body is not yours to look at. She belongs to God, and she belongs to God. She belongs to a dad and someday probably to a husband, and she's somebody's sister. That's a real person. And shame on us for exploiting women in the industry called pornography. Shame on us. We're to say, thank you, God, that you made the young ladies, and they're beautiful, and I want to honor them and respect them. And girls, you do the same thing for guys. Say, you know, Lord, thank you that you made boys and you made guys. And thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. I'll honor them. Start with your sisters and brothers. You got a sister? Honor her. Don't be one of these teenagers that's always like, oh my word, my little sister's such an idiot. Shame on you. What you ought to do is say to your little sister, you ought to say, hey, I just want you to know you're amazing. And I think you're beautiful. If anybody ever bothers you, you tell me and I will kill them in the name of Jesus. See? Because guys, you ought to honor. And girls, you honor your brother. Start there. Honor your brother. Say to your brother, just say, hey, I just want you to know, I think you're really a cool guy. And I just think you're amazing. In fact, I think you're so handsome. Any girl that marries you someday is going to be a lucky girl because you're such an amazing guy. You see, our world is ruining us as Christians. We roll our eyes inside each other. You know what? Some of you aren't even thankful for your siblings. Our gratitude is lacking. No wonder we're battling our purity in this generation. What time is it? I got to watch the time. We're going to be out of time here in just a moment. We start with knowledge. We move to gratitude. How many are with me so far? All right, take your Bible. You got your Bible? Let's look at a couple more ingredients. Look at Psalm 51. This is the psalm where David is not right with God, but he's trying to get right with God, and we commend him for that, although he's made a real mess. Find the book of Psalms right in the middle of your Bible. Find Psalm 51, and when you're there, locate it, put your finger on Psalm 51, and as soon as you found it, Psalm 51, put your finger on it, and then smile at me, all right? Put your finger on it, Psalm 51, and then smile at me, because y'all look better when you smile. All right, Psalm 51. Boy, y'all look happy, all right? Psalm 51, how does it begin? Right at the top, before you get to verse 1, he says this, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Are you serious? Are you serious? Here is mighty King David, a man after God's own heart, and he's allowed himself to get involved in adultery. He's allowed himself to make a mess of his life. How many of y'all know that's never God's will for your life? How many of y'all know that? Adultery is never God's will. Adultery is when a person has sexual relations with somebody to whom they're not married. Did you know that? That is not right. That is not right. That has never been right. Don't you laugh at adultery in a movie. Don't you treat lightly adultery in a movie. Here's a guy and girl, and they are not married, and they're going to bed together and acting like they're married. And I'm telling you, it's wicked and it's godless, and we are wicked and godless for calling it entertainment and enjoying it. Am I okay? We got to do differently, kids. We got to be different than this world we live in. Here's a guy that committed adultery, and he's a man after God's own heart. Shame on David. He knew better than that. And so do me and you. It's no way to live. Guys, you live a clean life. You pursue purity. Girls, you live a clean life. You pursue purity. And God gave you your sexual desires. You know that, don't you? God made us male and female. And the sexual desires that are normal, God designed them. This is not Hollywood's idea. This is not the devil's idea. Y'all know that, don't you? Remember when you're a little boy or a little girl? Remember when you're younger and you're a girl and you hate boys? You remember that? Remember when you're like, you know, like, no boys allowed in my club. Boys are stupid. Boys have cooties. How many of you remember, like, you remember when you were little and you were like that? And then you're a guy and you're like, no girls allowed. And remember when that starts changing? How many of you remember that? Somewhere along the way, isn't it amazing how God designed us? Because when you're little, you're like, hey, girls are so yucky. And then you're like, something happens in our bodies. And all of a sudden we're like, hey. Woo! Man! She's kind of cute. And remember when that all changes? And girls, remember when that changes in your life? You're like, boys are so gross. And then one day you're like, oh my word, he's so cute. He's just so cute. It's just amazing how God designed that to happen. Do you know that's normal? Smile at your friend and say, that's normal. Tell him. Smile at your friend and say, that's okay. My son Matthew, we've been praying for him. My son Matthew, when he was a teenager, we went and visited this church. And we go to this church, and we're, you know, kind of examining this church. And I wasn't preaching there. We were visiting. We were all the guests in this service. And we go to this church, and the kids go to Sunday school. We go to the morning service, and then we're heading home. And we're, as we're driving home, we're having a family talk. And I said, and I'm driving a van, and my kids are all back in the van. And I said, what did y'all think about that service? My Matthew said something like this. He's a teenager. Said something like this. He goes, you know, I think I could go to that church. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. It's probably the Sunday school lesson. I bet it was the music. The music program was amazing. It was the music. Preaching was good. I bet it was the Word of God. I said, oh, y'all tell me about it. He's like, Dad, there's a lot of cute girls in that church. He's like, I could go there to church. That's my kind of church right there. And you know, part of me was like, seriously? Seriously? And then part of me was like, praise God, he's normal. Woo! He likes girls. I like this. This is normal. Guys, if you're like, oh my word, she is so adorable. You know how? You're on the right track. Girls, if you're like, oh my word, he is such a handsome hunk of man. Listen to me, you're on the right track. You're on the right track. You're on the right track. See, God designed us with this desire to notice. God designed it. By the way, look at me. When we're unthankful for how God made us, when we're unthankful for God's plan, you know what happens? The Bible comes in Romans chapter 1 and says, when they were not thankful for how God made them, God gave them over to things like homosexuality. Men with men, women with women. And God says, you know what the problem in that is? It's a lack of gratitude. You can read that in Romans 1. So girls, celebrate the fact that, you know, God designed me to notice guys and respect them and admire that they're handsome and someday to marry one of them. And girls, that's a good thing. Guys, respect this and be thankful. You know, God made me a man, and God designed me to notice girls and to notice that they're beautiful, and God designed me someday to marry one of them. Not everybody gets married, and that's okay. The Bible is very clear that some people, God's plan for them is that they stay single the rest of their life. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. You can stay single and serve God in an amazing way and give your whole life and all of your money and all of your time to the work of the Lord. God says that, and he celebrates that. But for most of you, God wants you to be married. So be thankful for how God made you and work that way. Stay away from adultery. Stay away from fornication. Stay away from pornography. God has a better plan. Y'all with me on this? And so here we have a man in Psalm 51 who's committing adultery. And one of my favorite verses in Psalm 51, he's trying to get right with God now. And in the 10th verse, look at the 10th verse. Everybody say verse 10. Create in me, what's the next two words? Create in me a clean heart. Everybody say clean heart. Oh God, he said, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. There's two things here. Here's the third ingredient in our pursuit of purity. How do you live pure in an R-rated world? Number three, you got to have a clean heart. You got to have a clean heart. How many of y'all like clean? How many of y'all like clean? Anybody here love to be clean? Anybody like here to be? How many of y'all take two showers a day at least? Anybody here take three or four showers a day? I mean, I just like to be clean. How many of y'all brush your teeth? How many of y'all believe in brushing your teeth? How many of y'all like clean clothes? How many of y'all like clean clothes? How many of y'all like clean sheets? You like clean sheets? How many of y'all like clean food? Y'all with me on that one? You ever gone to a restaurant and sat down and found somebody's hair in your food? How's that work out for you? You're not okay with that, are you? Because clean is important. Clean is important. Did you ever hear the story about the guy? And he said to his son, he said, his little boy said, son, go get ready for bed. And you pick up your toys, get ready for bed, brush your teeth, and then I'll come tuck you in. And the little boy cleaned up the toys and went to the bathroom, and he was in there forever. And he was just in the bathroom forever. And so dad thought, what in the world is he doing in there? So dad goes down the hallway, and he looks into the bathroom, and there's his little boy and their dog. And the little boy has daddy's toothbrush, and he's brushing the dog's teeth with daddy's toothbrush. And the dad was mortified, and the dad said, for crying out loud, son, you can't do that. And he said, Dad, I've been doing it every night for 3 weeks. That's pretty gross, isn't it? That is pretty gross. I saw a cartoon one day. Somebody put in one of our, sent me because of one of our couples conferences. I saw a cartoon that said something about, he says, it's a guy, and a, you know, it's a man and his wife, and they're talking. And he said, you know, he said, I just so respect you and admire you. And every time we've had a disagreement, we've had a fight, or we've had a problem, every time you just are so calm and it doesn't bother you and you just handle it so easily. I don't know how in the world you do that. And she said, well, I can tell you how I do it. Oh, he said, well, how do you do it? Every time we have a fight, you're just so calm and nothing bothers you. You just don't react. And you're just an amazing woman that way. How do you do that? She said, well, every time we have a fight, I just go to the bathroom and take your toothbrush and clean the toilet. Now, how many of y'all agree that is pretty sad? That's pretty sad, isn't it? My point is, clean is important. Are you with me on that? Say it with me. Clean is important. I like clean. Say it. I like clean. So have a clean heart. You know what God's plan is? God's plan is that not one time would this thing called pornography ever be part of your life. It's God's plan. God's plan is that not one time do we ever tolerate garbage on our TVs. Not one time. You say, but you can't help it. You go to the mall and walk through the mall, you see images. Brother Dave, if you even open a smartphone and get on YouTube, you're going to see images. It's just the world we live in. I know it, but what you do about it will determine whether or not you have a clean heart. What do you do? What do you do when you're on Instagram and you're scrolling along and the next thing you know, there's a picture of a girl and she might as well have nothing on. Just a little bit, maybe, but might as well be nothing. What do you do? When's the last time you saw an image like that and said, well, for crying out loud, that is not right. I am dead to sin, alive to Jesus, and you logged off Instagram. I would dare say that most of you never log off Instagram. You just keep scrolling. Just keep going. Scrolling through TikTok, and there's a little scene that's inappropriate, and you know it's inappropriate, and if I put it on this screen here in front of this church auditorium this morning, everybody in this room will be offended and think, what is wrong with Dave Young putting that up in front of this Christian audience? And yet you do it every day of your life and think nothing about it. A clean heart means you've got to make some changes. Are you going to stumble on something occasionally? Absolutely. We're all going to stumble. You're going to go through them all. One day I was in Las Vegas, Nevada. My wife and I driving in Las Vegas, Nevada. Did you know that Las Vegas, Nevada is a place of a lot of garbage? Did you know that? I'm talking about morally. My wife and I are driving through Las Vegas, Nevada in a taxi cab. I'm on the interstate, about a four-lane interstate, and I'm driving all 65 miles an hour, and a taxi cab came up beside me, and then the taxi cab came over in front of me, and there was a billboard on top of the taxi, and it was just this inappropriate, just all these dancers. I mean, they might as well have not had anything on. I don't know, 5 or 10 little girls, they're all these dancers in this big billboard. And my wife, I'm driving down the interstate, and my wife goes, "Don't look at that!" and covered my eyes. Okay, but baby, I gotta see. We're surrounded in your generation, but a clean heart is still an essential ingredient to purity. Which means you gotta sit in your living room and you're watching a movie with your buddies, and all of a sudden there's an inappropriate scene. Say, hey, guess we can't watch this movie. Click. So I want a clean heart. You're scrolling through. We're so good at this, aren't we? And now we're like this. And our brains are like fried. It's just our world, isn't it? What you do when you stumble onto a scene is going to determine whether or not you have a clean heart. Some of you kids need to shut it down because you've had a dirty heart long enough. Here's what's even weirder. For some of you kids, it's so much a part of your life, it doesn't even bother you the way it used to. It's got to the point to where, oh, yeah, there's another half-naked person. Oh, well, there's another adultery scene. Adults, I don't mean this to be mean, but some of us aren't much better. We wonder why there's no revival in this generation. We wonder why our churches are declining. We wonder why you have no power. We wonder why nobody's being saved in our churches, why nobody's being discipled. And yet what we do every day of our life is go home and turn on the television and tolerate filth. And kids, I'm not preaching to your parents, I'm preaching to you. Some of you kids are like this, well, my mom and dad don't care what I watch on TV. All right, I'm sorry about that, but you better care. Mom and dad don't care what I do on Instagram. Okay, fine, but you better care. Because an essential ingredient in this battle for purity in this R-rated world, if you're going to find purity, you've got to have knowledge. There's a battle going on, and the enemy's trying to destroy you, and you need gratitude in your life. You better have a thankful heart for how God made you and God's plan for human sexuality and all that, and you need a clean heart. And number four, you need a right spirit. It's in verse 10. Because he says right here, he prays this, David prays this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now just talk to me just a moment. I'll be able to sit up straight just a moment. I know these seats are so comfortable, aren't they? And you just slide down there and go to sleep. But I don't want you to go to sleep. I'll come back and wake you up. And so stay with me just a few more moments and we'll take a break and get ready for the final service. All right? Now watch this. Watch this. A right spirit is so essential. How many of you are aware of the fact that you are living in a generation where so many teenagers are miserable? How many of y'all notice that? You ever go to church on a Sunday morning in Sunday school and walk into a Sunday school class? How often do you walk into a teen Sunday school class where people are just really happy? Oh my goodness, God bless you, so happy you're here today. Don't you just love Jesus? Nope, here's the average teen Sunday school. Oh my word, there's some new person. What are they doing here? This is our Sunday school class. They're sitting in our seats. My word. How many are just aware of the fact that teens today have a bad attitude? Is life hard, yes or no? It is. I don't fault that. Some of you kids, life's really hard. Some of you kids, your family's tough. And some of you kids, these things are tough, and I'm sorry. But the Bible is so clear that a right spirit is essential to having victory in your life. The Bible is so clear about this, guys and girls, a right spirit. That's a happy heart. That's an obedient heart. That's a right spirit is a respectable heart. You will not have victory in your life? Here's how you have victory in your life. The next time your mom says to you, hey, I know you're playing the video game, but I need you to take out the trash. Here's how most teens are like. Hey, honey, I need you to take out the trash. I know you're playing video game. I need you to take out the trash. I said I need you to take out the trash. I will. I'm trying to kill somebody, okay? Is it kind of true of our generation? You want to have a clean heart? You want to have a pure heart? Here's what you do. You're playing your video game, and mom says, I need you to take out the trash. Yes, ma'am, I'm on it. Woo! Got it, Mom, I got it. I love you, Mom. You're amazing, and I love serving you. Now, see, y'all laugh at me because you know, this guy's an idiot. Are you? That's what you're thinking. This guy's an idiot. I'm not an idiot. I'm trying to help you have purity in your life. So get yourself a happy heart. Get yourself a happy, obedient heart. We're running out of time here. We need to take a break before we get in the next service. But you got to have a right spirit in your life. You got to start being thankful. You got to start being happy. You got to start. Some of you are like, oh my goodness, life is so miserable. Well, of course it is. You listen to country music all the time. No wonder you're so miserable. Well, somebody ran off with his wife. There ain't no I in beer. And we wonder why we're so miserable. What in the world is wrong with us? Some of you forget the country music, it's rap. You wonder, why am I so miserable? Because the singing you're listening to every single day is full of the F word and God's name taken in vain, and you're wondering why you're miserable and battling? Get a happy heart! Make some changes in your life. It's knowledge, it's gratitude, it's a clean heart, it's a right spirit. And there's one more verse I got to give you, and I'm just going to quote it to you. I love 2 Timothy 2:22. The Bible says, flee youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on God out of a pure heart. Here's number five. You got to have a willingness to flee. Sometimes you got to run. How many runners we have in the room? How many of y'all run? Any track people in the room? Raise your hand good and high if you're a runner. Any runners in the room? How many of you are not a runner? Pastor Dan is raising his hand, and I think he's lying. How many of you do not run, and you would not run if a bear was chasing you? Can I see your hand? All right, that's more like it. But you know what the Bible says you got to do if you're going to have victory in your life? You want to find purity in an R-rated world, you got to learn to run. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you're on your computer or on your phone, and you're scrolling along, and the next thing you know, right there on the side of YouTube is a little thumbnail. You know I could click on that. In fact, maybe you already have, and that's why it showed up again. The reason it's already over there is because you've already been looking at that kind of stuff, and it's just following what you've already been looking at. And it's so easy, isn't it? Just take the little mouse over there and click. Don't even resist. Just run over there and watch it. So easy to watch that video again. So easy to scroll down to the next immorality, to the next naked scene. It's so easy. The Bible has a better plan. You've got to be willing to flee. There's times you're like, you know what, I'm telling you right now, I'm out of here. I can't look at that anymore. I'm out of here. I can't do that. I'm out of here. Can't do that. I can't do it. Can't handle it. I'm gone. Can't do that. I'm gone. When's the last time you fled? Flee fornication, the Bible says. Flee youthful lusts. Do you know how there was a man named Joseph in the Bible that not one thing is ever said negative about him? Because there was a day in his life where his master's wife, his name is Potiphar, and we assume her name is Mrs. Potiphar, and Mrs. Potiphar said, hey, you want to go to bed with me? So he says, I can't believe you would tell that story. You watch it on TV all the time at your house. No, don't be shocked by this story. If you've gone to a movie theater this summer, chances are you've seen it. In real life, not just in a story. And she came in finally one day and she grabbed him and she was like, you are such a handsome boy, I want you to go to bed with me. And the Bible says he fled. He ran. In fact, he got out so fast he left his coat in her hands. She went to her husband and said, can you believe he came in and tried to force me to do that? And I grabbed his coat and he ran. You know what happened to Joseph, don't you? He went to jail for 13 years. 13 years. Because he did what was right. I tell you that story as I close to tell you this. I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. Somebody's going to ridicule you. Some of your friends are going to laugh at you. For crying out loud, maybe somebody will go to jail for doing what's right. But can I tell you something? Kids, there are some things worth going to jail over. And if having a clean heart and a pure life means I wind up in jail, then let's go to jail. Chances are it's not going to go that far. What are the chances it's going to go that far? Learn to flee. Some of you need to delete the Instagram. I don't know that you should, but some of you need to. You need to get rid of a TikTok account. Maybe you just need to set a timer and say, you know what? 30 minutes a day on Instagram is all I'm going to give. 30 minutes on Instagram and I'm done. Set a timer. How many of y'all have an Echo at your house or an Alexa? What you do is you say, Alexa, set a timer for 30 minutes. And 30 minutes later, you've been scrolling through Instagram and Alexa starts, you know, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, or whatever she does. And you say, okay, done. Kids, God wants you to live a pure life, and I don't care what's going on in this world, you can. God's on your side. God wants you to win. Let him help you win. You need knowledge? You with me on that one? Yes or no? You need gratitude? You with me on that one? You need a clean heart? Yes or no? You need a right spirit? Yes or no? You got to be willing to flee? Yes or no? May God help us, all of us, to do it. Let's have a clean heart in this R-rated world. All right, Brother Stephen, thanks for letting me address this audience. And it's all yours. Let's get ready for the final service.